It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 620. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and it's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I am back from vacation, but only for 2 weeks, and then I go away again. So there's a show tonight, 620. There'll be a 621, hopefully next Thursday. And then the following week, I go away, and I will be in Germany at the Hurricane Festival outside of Hamburg. And I will be attending that with my son, Ryan, and I. We've been planning this since November. Before we get started, I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the show. And how good is Instant House Call? I have a system that the power supply crashed, an Optiplex, for a client. We ordered the power supply yesterday. It came in today overnight. And we were crossing our fingers because we did test the power supply, and it is the power supply. So pop that in. We were really hoping it's not the motherboard or anything more complex. The power supply popped it in, and it worked. But when we fired it up, updates are like a year and a half old. So I'm running the updates, but how am I doing it? And the system is in my house behind me. I'm running the updates via Instant House Call. And I've done that where I can multitask different things, like record this show and be monitoring system updates, which is Windows 7, and they're always a pain. I have those 8 fixes I'm applying. This is the power of Instant House Call that allows you the capability to do multiple things. I update, and my son uses it, and we run updates. We're logging in to 4 or 5 systems at a time and running updates and running fixes and cleaning and doing maintenance on systems. You can try Instant House Call free right now for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com or the link at my website. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Instant House Call and Tech Site Builder is bringing you the DC Unconvention 2017, which is September 15th and 16th. You want to lock in before tickets run out. You want to get your tickets and some incentive. If you can find your way down to DC for that weekend, use the promo code MTS for a $40 discount per ticket. So MTS, get you $40 off your ticket, save a little money, meet up with us. We're going to have a great time where you're going to have like-minded individuals to network with. Some great vendors, great sessions. I'm going to be part of the keynote. I'm also doing a lab. You will have a great time. You will learn a lot. And it's all about the networking. A sponsor for the DC convention and the Mike Tech Show, I want to thank Malwarebytes. The TechBench tool set is an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. The link will be in the show notes. Check that out, the Malwarebytes TechBench tool set. So to finish up my story on this system, and I have a ton of other stories from the trenches, and then a little bit of email that I'm going to get to. The story, this is an attorney that haven't seen the system in a while, and I get a panic phone call yesterday that nothing will start. It just won't go. So I dispatched one of my techs to pick it up, brought it back here. We opened it up. We tested the power supply. Power supply failing our test. So I quickly jump on Amazon. I order for this Dell OptiPlex, a small form factor. I think it might be a 7010, if I'm not mistaken. Ordered the power supply, and we crossed our fingers hoping that this is going to be it, because I really don't want to do a restore from Shadow Protect, which is what I could, you know, but it's nice when it's easy. Well, that's why I'm working on this remotely, because I'm also doing some cleaning and some tune-ups. I want to make sure all the Windows updates are done. Then that system can be delivered tomorrow morning. And my son's going to come here, pick it up, 9 a.m., take it over there. They're pretty close, and get her all squared away. So that was nice. A story involving, I believe, karma. And I wanted to bring this up. I have a client who is wealthy, a dentist, and this is for his house, a Marantz that I set up, oh, maybe a year and a half ago. He's having trouble. And the message that I get, the email that I get while I was away was, I'm having trouble playing the music I want to play from my iPod. I have a Sonos at my vacation house. I would like to talk to you about getting the Sonos. Which equipment should I buy? I said, Tom, I have a bunch of questions. If you can hold on till I get back, I want to run the questions by you, and then let's decide. Now, to give you some history here, he has multiple speakers through every room of the house. A built into the wall, a switch for which rooms you want the music, all of that tying beautifully into this really nice Marantz receiver. So I'm like, why would he want to change this? So we talk today, and he says, Mike, I love my Sonos. I have an iPad at my vacation house. I can play all my music wherever I go in the house. I hear it down there. I love it. It's great. I can't do that here. And he says, my iPod, the USB stopped working. I said, we might just be able to take the Marantz, reset it back to the factory defaults. We may just need a firmware upgrade. And there's lots of things, maybe the cable frayed or something that you're plugging into. But I said, wait a second, you can't be using that iPod on the Sonos. And he says, no, I use my iPad. I said, I have a more important question. Are you happy with the quality of music when it's playing throughout the house? Are you happy with that? He said, absolutely. It's great. So I said, why are we going to spend the money on ripping out the speakers, putting new speakers in? I believe downgrading the receiver to Sonos, because remember, he's already wired and it's beautiful. You can't see any wires. Everything is gorgeously connected and working. I said, wouldn't you like to use your iPad at home? He's like, yeah, that would be it. I said, you need to learn how to connect via Bluetooth. Now, we did that on setup, but he probably forgot the combination of what to do. I said, I'm going to email you instructions on how to connect your iPad to the Marantz, and you don't have to spend any money. He said, that's phenomenal. And he got it and he understood. I said, now, do you want to be able to use that iPod? No. He says, if I can just have my iPad with all my music, that's all I need. And that's going to be Bluetooth. He could just sit that right by the receiver and he can go anywhere he wants in the house and do whatever he wants. And the reason why I mentioned karma is I could have easily charged him, brought in my cable guy, redid speakers, redid the hardware, the labor, and he was willing to pop for all of that. Here, he's spending no money. I downloaded the PDF manual. There was just 2 pages on how to pair the iPad. I printed that to a PDF, so this way I would have 2 pages only, so not to burden him with the 276 pages of the manual. I sent that to him with an email. If you have any trouble, we'll come out and help you. That will come back. And I wanted to, there's lots of examples of that where I take the high road and I don't look to do any extra billing. I don't have to. I have enough work. I am busy enough that I don't have to extend time. When I'm cleaning a system, I want to get in and out. I do what I have to do as efficiently as possible and get out, because I don't ever want my client to think they're not working fast enough. I work extremely accurate, detail-oriented, and efficient to where there's never a problem with the bill. And that will come back to me. And I know that. And that's why I wanted to just share a style where I know of someone who is a plumber, not my plumber, but a friend of someone that makes sure to extend the time if he fixes something too fast. I don't like doing that. I know it's going to come back. And if I do good by someone else, I know it's going to come back and I'm going to get more referrals and I'm going to get more business. Take the high road, do what's right. Look out for your client, which leads to the next story. So while I was away, one of my retainer clients wants to upgrade their QuickBooks machine, which is acting as a server. They don't want that anymore. They described 5 months ago the need for a Synology. They, of course, didn't know that. And I spec'd out a Synology working with their one employee who has to weigh in on everything, who thinks he's an IT guy, but he is so not an IT guy. 5 months, they never pull the trigger. And I had to work with him with the computer that he wanted, and he found one on Newegg. And in 5 months, prices change. So I get an email saying, Mike, we need you to do this, buy all the equipment. Now, they want me to buy the equipment that he found online. And now it's worthy of the battle because they're going to pull the trigger. So I said, let's talk. I'm back on Wednesday. When I get back, I connect, we talk, and we get into an argument. I will not install a new computer in a small office environment with Windows 7 deployed unless we absolutely have to. There's no technical reason for this place. This system is QuickBooks 2015. That'll work great on Windows 10. We get into an argument and I want to supply the computer. I said, I don't know where you're going to buy the computer. And he says, yeah, but you'll approve it. I said, no, because I want it to pass through my hands. I want to set it up. It's going to save you money. Just like the Synology, I want to put the ProNAS drives in it. I want to configure it and format it, then bring it up, and then it's going to be an easy install. I said, I will eat the time for this. We're fighting to the point where I hear the boss in the background say, why are you fighting with Mike? We pay him to assist us with the technology decisions. That's what he does for a living. Why are you fighting with him? And we left the conversation that he was going to buy what he wanted, and we were going to hope for the best, and I would install it. Ken, my tech, is with me yesterday during this phone conversation. And I turned to Ken and I said, I'm going to get an email where the exact opposite's going to happen. They're going to have me buy everything. I was looking in my crystal ball, and it might have been 8 minutes, not 10. I did receive an email saying, Mike, and he quotes his boss, you will buy and provide everything and have it configured. And that's the way it should be. But I had a struggle. I don't like fighting with a client, but I was right. I'm like, why are you on retainer with me? Why are you paying me this? And he's going to have to spend all day trying to order it, make sure it's going to get in on time and make sure. You know, why do that? That makes no sense. So I'm glad they came to their senses. He did ask one thing. It can be Windows 10, but could I please make it look and feel like Windows 7? Which leads to a classic, no pun intended, link. The classic shell works great for Windows 10. Now, I also like Start 10 by Starducks, but classic shell works. And I'm going to do something special for you if you want to use classic shell. You can change and add a custom icon. And I did this a long time ago. I'm going to upload to the website the JPEG that I have. That's the three Windows 7 icons that you need that change when in Windows 7 when you touch the start menu and you get that little you know, traditional Windows icon. I made the background, the classic shell, the icon, the look and feel of that system. If you sat down, you would think it's Windows 7, but it's Windows 10. And I know we're eventually going to be upgrading. As a matter of fact, we could be upgraded in a few months. They've talked about it. I'm like, so why introduce a Windows 7 system where I'm going to charge you more hours again to come in and do an upgrade? And I don't like upgrading from 7 to 10. I'm going to want to do a refresh from scratch. And that's going to take even more time. Why are we doing that? Again, trying to save money for my client. Like, why do I end up in these battles? I learned this when I was in the corporate world. My passion for a decision or a topic is mistaken for something that I'm personally going to benefit from. And I, of course, won't. As a matter of fact, I would personally benefit if I went with my client's decision because I will make more money. It will be more billable hours. But it's not the right thing to do. So I take the hard line when I know I'm right, where I sound like I'm very difficult. And sometimes I am. That's sometimes for people who don't know me, they mistaken my passion for some ulterior motive that I really don't have. If they really understood I'm looking out for their interest, it's the exact opposite. The system, literally today, we picked up and it's configured already. The Synology is going to arrive tomorrow with the drives. I'm going to have that configured, and we're not even scheduled till next Friday to set it all up. Couple more stories. The day I'm away, the day I was taken off for Cancun last Thursday, the morning of June 1st, I land and I'm getting texts. Email starts coming in. There is a problem with a dental office. Now, this dental office is 100% Mac, but there is one rogue lone XP PC that accepts all of the x-rays. This system just won't boot anymore. But you can see video and you can see light, so it's not the power supply. Take out the hard drive and test it. It's not the hard drive. It is Windows. So we know that it's Windows that's the problem. With XP, and if you don't know this, I will have the link, and it's the Langel, the Fred Lange, and if you can donate to him, there's some great posts and some great things for the Langel letter, and I have to thank Ken, my tech, for XP's no reformat, non-destructive, total rebuild option. As a matter of fact, I disagreed with Ken when he was going to go down this path because I thought it was going to unactivate some software, that there'd be problems, re-register and shadow protect, and blah, 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 you know, on and on and on. It worked. Now, this system sits on the network but does not connect to the internet. We don't allow it to connect to the internet. It's only to receive the x-rays, and then the Mac systems pull the x-rays from that share because the x-ray system does not have any interface for the Mac. So that's why it's this lone PC in the midst of all of these iMacs. The office is gorgeous. I'm now worried about, because it's XP, and I talked to the owner of the business, and I am putting together an older, reliable system that I'm going to take the image and re-image this system with this custom controller into another XP system ready to roll until we can get upgraded software and get something more modern and work with Windows 10 and the controller can work. So I got some due diligence there. But in the meantime, I don't like the fact that their whole business is at the mercy of this one XP system. And I want to have one in a closet identical to it, ready to roll. He's got a problem. Boom. He can at least take new x-rays. And if there's anything they need from that system, I can always transfer the backup. I can always get the files. I can always do something. But he literally could do that himself by disconnecting it and putting a spare system. So we're talking about putting that spare system together. I just wanted to talk about that non-destructive upgrade because I may have to do that this weekend for another story that's still developing from Monday night. And my action plan if certain things don't work with hardware replacements, I'm going to try a restore, but there's a problem. The client insisted upon using the live backup of the mounted data. It's a long story. So we're risking the restore. What I may have to do is restore from a backup earlier and then sync the data from the other one. We also may try a non-destructive reinstall, and we hope we'll never reinstall Windows 7 from scratch. We're hoping that that's never going to happen. But I'm going to be looking for a Windows 7 non-destructive install and a Windows 10, we believe we found, instructions for a non-destructive install. Final story from the trenches, and then I'm going to get to the email. This was Monday. I'm relaxing by the pool in Cancun, and the Wi-Fi happens to be working, and I look down, and we got a problem. A ticket got opened up for a retainer client power outage. And when the power came back, nothing's working. The IP phones, which were supplied by 8x8, nothing's, no internet, nothing's working. Via some emails, and I'll tell you, I had a very light touch on this. I have to thank my oldest son, Michael Jr., and my senior tech, Ken Rose, the two of them, with Ken on the phone and Michael Jr. on site, with a combination of rebooting and doing some things where they told us they tried to reboot the server. We don't think they did. And it's Active Directory, and it's got DNS and DHCP. So based on what was happening with Ken's guidance over the phone, Michael was able to bring everything up and get everything running. That's two emergencies. There was another emergency on Friday, which I don't even have time. I'm not even going to be able to get to here. So three emergencies while I was away. What that proved is that I can travel, and my business, my important clients can be taken care of because I have the quality support working for me. Between Chris, Ken, and Michael Jr., I am in a great position to support my clients. And that is phenomenal. So that's why I'm looking forward to where I'm going to be able to go to Germany at the end of the month here, be able to go over there. I took my Chromebook, as promised from the show a couple weeks ago, and I was able to navigate the Wi-Fi, but it took a couple tries because at first it looked like it wasn't going to connect, where remote desktop going back into the test system, because I had to get on instant house call because there's a couple things that I have to do. There's a report every day that on weekends it can stack up and I can do them on Monday, but there's a report that I got to do that I have to use instant house call to a system, and I haven't done a knowledge transfer of that work to Ken or Michael or Chris. So what I'm doing is testing, can I travel with just a Chromebook? And I successfully did that. I was able to use the Chrome remote desktop extension like I talked about because I tested it here. And of course, it's different when you test it locally and then you test it from another country. But I'm now in a position that if there is a laptop ban, and I'm really worried where I'm going to Germany with my laptop and then maybe I have to pack it because I can't carry it on the plane on the way back to get into the country. Or that ban could be in effect by the time I'm taking off to Germany. So given all that, I'm taking the Chromebook because if something happens to the Chromebook, I'll have it wrapped. I'll have it secured to check in the luggage. But I certainly hope not because it's nice having my USB with all my music on there. And that's something I wanted to test. You know, how did that work well on the plane? I never plugged it in. I used that Chromebook a couple times while I was away. On the flight down, on the flight back, I think there was still 6 hours of life in that battery. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Very, very happy about that. Now, since I mentioned Germany, do I have any listeners in the Hamburg area that would be willing to have a couple hours of free consulting by yours truly, by me. The festival is the 23rd, 24th, 25th. So it would be the 27th, the 28th, or the 29th, ideally. One of those days, I will offer up a couple hours of consulting. I'll let your mind wander, why would I do that? There's certainly lots of tax reasons that if I have work over there, email me, reach out to me with your business, or maybe you work for somewhere, and if you listen to the show, you know what I can and can't do, and I might be able to offer some services and offer some troubleshooting or offer some help, maybe some network design, or there's lots of things. So, of course, you're going to have to translate. My German's very, very poor. I wanted to make that offer. Email me at mike@mhsconsulting.net or miketechshow@gmail.com. We have time for a few emails here to catch up. Oh, Skype. Here you go. I received this from Skype, and I don't understand. They say, we've noticed that you are or previously were using Skype on Windows Phone 8, Windows Phone 8.1, messaging app for Windows 10 Mobile, Windows RT, or TV. No, I've never used any of those devices. We're sorry to inform you that we will be permanently retiring these versions of Skype as a result after July 1st, 2017. You will no longer be able to sign in to these versions of Skype. So I wanted to, if anybody you know are using those different versions, Skype's going away on them. I'll have a link to that. Mark Cobb weighing in on my iPhone issue, which I believe is resolved. Are you still using the AT&T microcell? Yes, I am. If so, that may be the cause of your connection issues during the beginning of a call. As soon as AT&T launched Wi-Fi calling, I disconnected my microcell and never looked back. Wi-Fi calling offers superior call sound quality and connection setup times, similar to VoLTE. Also, it doesn't just work at home. It kicks in anywhere that my phone is connected to Wi-Fi and a low cellular signal, even on a cruise ship. Mark, I disabled my microcell and I still had problems. But a few weeks ago, I mentioned there was a network upgrade from AT&T. I applied that upgrade. I also applied the latest, greatest, I think it's 10.3.2 of iOS from Apple on my iPhone 7. And since these updates, my phone is working great. So I'm really happy. I'm still probably going to invest in an Android phone, probably a Google Pixel, just to experience and that ecosystem and be able to work with it, because I really need both of them. Mark, thank you. We were on the same wavelength. When you wrote that, I smiled because I was like, that was one of the first things I thought of. And it didn't help my problem like it helped you. This is from Bob. Win 10 resets app defaults after updates. Longtime fan, and I really appreciate all that you do for us. Your tech tips have saved my bacon on more than one occasion. Several times after upgrading to Windows 10, I have had to go back and reset my default apps to what I want to use. I have gone through and manually done this on several occasions, only to come back again and find that Microsoft has set them all back to what they want me to use. A while back, I started searching to find out how others had dealt with this problem and came across a site that had a registry edit that looked promising. So I tried it and it worked. Well, this morning I came down to find that they had done it again to me, and yet again, and now I am once again using Edge for my browser and to open my PDFs, etc. Was hoping you might have a permanent fix for this annoying problem. I have added the registry fix I last used to the bottom of this email. This is from Bob. Bob, I absolutely feel your pain. I've said this a couple times throughout different podcasts that Microsoft takes it upon themselves in Windows 10 updates and resets defaults, and it causes me a nightmare for support, when, especially when they change the default PDF viewer to be Edge. That's insane. They shouldn't be allowed to touch that. But they do. They change the video player, your music player. They change your browser default. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. You are completely right, Bob. I'm going to look at this registry edit and offer a word of caution. I have not tested this, but I will take a look at it. And if everything looks good, I'm going to post it up as a link in the show notes, as a text download. Carefully take a look at that, because I may just use a section that changes a couple of those quickie ones that they constantly change, like default browser, the default PDF, and then have that available, because then I could just instant house call in, apply the registry fix, reboot, boom, done. Not the most elegant solution, but a solution. So, Bob, thanks for sharing that. And if anybody has any other options to weigh in here on how to reset these, you know, automatically, or some kind of an automated fix, please weigh in. This link is from my senior tech, Ken Rose. He often contributes with different things, great things that he finds, and this is no exception. This is from TechSpot, and it's a bug in Windows 7 and 8.1 that allows maliciously coded websites to crash the OS. So I wanted to make you all aware of that. Give that article a read. Final email about me reading emails. And because I've already read this one, I was very conscious of this on the last couple emails I read. This is Buck. I am an old, retired, traveling metal goods salesman that loves to play with computers and listen to your podcast. Your advice gives me confidence to try new things while trying to keep our four computers running at peak performance. Carrie's videos inspired me to build two computers from scratch. It may be just me, but I sometimes have trouble understanding when you add your own comments in the middle of reading emails. I have to ask myself, is that Mike commenting, or is that in the email? Being 21 years older than you, I wonder what I would have done had I been born 20 years later. Heck, as a college engineering student, my only exposure to computers was my K&E slide rule. Thanks to you and Carrie for providing me with many hours of listening pleasure. Congratulations on more than 600 shows. This is Buck from Wisconsin. Buck, thank you so much for stating that. You are not the first one. As a matter of fact, a while ago, I read an email very similar to this, where the way I deliver reading emails, I subconsciously just offer up my opinions in the middle. I started to try the following, and he continues. That's not good enough. Now, on long emails, I'm going to work a transition in where I'm giving my comment. But on the shorter emails, I'm going to read them through and then comment on everything to try to make that easier, because I know it's got to be an issue when there's more than one person mentioning that. And I want to hear that kind of feedback so I can make those adjustments to make it easier for you. I want you to enjoy and understand everything that I'm talking about. So, Buck, thank you so much for being such a loyal listener and for your feedback. As tonight, I have implemented it. Let's hope I can remember to keep doing that. If you purchase from Amazon, I live on Amazon. I buy a lot from Amazon. If you know anyone that purchases from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. It makes a big difference. I want to thank you for all of your continued support of the show by using that link. I want to thank, of course, Instant House Call for sponsoring the show, Malwarebytes, Tech Site Builder. If you need to build, have your website, your tech website built, there's no other place. TechSiteBuilder.com. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. Love it, love it, love it. Fabrice constantly updates it. He's always on top of any issues. I use that all the time to transfer information from one system to another. And of course, we got Bryce's Computer Business Kit version 3. All the forms and everything you need for your consulting business, for your computer repair business, for your IT support business. All of these links will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for downloading and staying subscribed and hanging out with me and listening to the show. I really appreciate it. And I will be back here next week. Will be show 621 before I start my travels again. And then I think we're going to be back into a normal schedule for the rest of the summer. If you're listening to this and you're in the Philadelphia or suburb area, I have been tapped to host the Windows SIG of the Philadelphia Area Computer Society on Saturday, June 17th. I'm going to try to get that recorded. I have a couple things that I'm going to talk about. It's going to be a two-hour session where it's going to be Q&A for anybody that's got problems. And then I'm also going to come up with some cool topics. And I'm doing that. And that's 10 a.m. at the Philadelphia Area Computer Society, June 17th. If you're in the area, come by. Say hello. Meet me. Meet my son. He's going to be there handing out business cards and things so we can turn this into getting some more business. I'm so glad the PAC's president reached out to me over the weekend. The normal guy is on vacation, and this is the last meeting before the end of the summer because they're off July and August. There's no meeting. So I was honored that he asked me to sub and attend because, as he said in his email, so many people continue to ask him, can we get Mike back? Can you get Mike back? And so I'm glad to do a visit. All right, that's it. See everybody next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.